In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christos Anesti. In the epistle, we heard about St. Peter being in prison and being miraculously released from the bonds and from prison. And in the Psalms, we say, bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. And all of us who were bound by death and our souls being in Hades, waiting for the Lord who would go and destroy the bonds there. This is a great epistle which is dedicated in honor and memory of the holy and great martyr George the Trophy Bearer. So even though we're in the week after Pascha, and the gospel reading is from Monday of Renewal Week, the epistle reading is from St. George, which sometimes happens this week, sometimes it happens on April 23rd, which is the main day, but because we had Holy Week, and because St. George's Day cannot be festively celebrated, it gets moved to the Monday of after Pascha. And so this epistle is a sign of the life that's to come, but also reminds us that although St. George, like St. Peter, was bound and taken where he did not want to go and treated in a way that he did not want to be treated, this was something that Jesus called Peter to do after the resurrection, that he said, do you love me? And Peter was grieved. Of course, he remembered that his denials, but when Jesus says, when you were young, you walked where you would. You girded yourself and you walked where you would. But when you are old, someone else will gird you and you will go where you will not want to go. But the evangelist John says about Peter that this was to show by what death Peter was to glorify God. When we glorify God, we can say already that we know that the bonds and the chains of death and the imprisonment of death and of Hades are opened. They are opened already. And our soul has to be taken out of prison. Our soul has to be ready to receive Christ at all times. When we have heard in this week, particularly repeatedly, that Christ comes forth from the tomb as a bridegroom from a bridal chamber, this really puts an unusual spin on a tomb, because that's the last place that you would expect a wedding feast to take place. But how much our Lord and Savior loves us that he turned the tomb into the bridal chamber. And it's not that we should be desirous to hasten our death in this life, but the fact that life comes out of that tomb now, and that we are no longer held captive by death, we know that the bridegroom meets us there, and we can come out with him as well, which is also beautiful. In the wedding service, there are a number of references to martyrdom, that those crowns that the couple wears call to mind the martyrs, because Christ gave himself for the church. The bridegroom, as we started saying before, the bridegroom gave himself up for the bride. And the martyrs were very excellent examples of responding to this bridegroom by giving themselves as well to Christ. And this is what marriage is. We marry to serve. We marry to serve the church and to give ourselves to one another as an icon of Christ's relationship with the church. And so the martyrs were crowned to the bridegroom as a beautiful meeting, as a beautiful way of that hope of leaving the tomb and flourishing. One of the psalm verses that's selected for St. George is that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, that even though he underwent hideous treatments and gruesome torture, God used even that to turn it into life, to turn it into a release from prison, and to show that we would be saved by our endurance. The Orthros Gospel, we are reminded by Christ, by your endurance, your ipomone, you will gain your lives, and it's psyche. You will gain your lives. Your soul will be restored, because the body is going to be restored, ready or not. We're going to be called out of the tombs. But if our soul is out of prison, if we continuously pursue the way to give ourselves to Christ, to respond to the bridegroom, and we can't ask for crowns. As I said a few weeks ago, when the disciples were saying that they wanted to sit one at the right and one at the left, and Saint Theophylact said, you can't just ask for crowns, you haven't even asked for the ability to serve. And we watched with the Goyans on Holy Friday a program that talked about a twofold anointing, that when we're baptized, we become honored by being children of God, but we also become sacrifices. When the king is anointed, he's also a servant. When we are married, we also have restrictions. There are joys, but there are also restrictions. And I was reminded that one of our teachers said that there was a man who boasted that he would take a bullet for his wife. And he said, well, a bullet? You don't even take out the garbage for your wife. And you say that you're going to take out a bullet. That's sort of like when Peter said, I am going to die. I'm going to be in prison with you and to die with you. Again, he was thinking more about the crown than about the service. And that's why he denied Christ. Of course, he was restored and brought out of prison, bodily and spiritually. And then ultimately, as a saint of the church. But this sign of resurrection is given to us by Christ, who went into the tomb, who descended into Hades, and broke our bonds forever. So may he guide us to receive that gift by means of being servants of one another, by seeking ways to serve Christ, to give ourselves to him, but not asking for a specific ending. We ask for a Christian end of our lives. But we can't say, well, make me a wonder worker, or make me a martyr, or make me an ascetical master. We can't ask that. We just ask him to direct him to unite ourselves to Christ. And we have such a beautiful life in the mystical experience of the church, and the contact that he gives us with holiness, that if we ask every day to make us his servants, he will meet us and the crowns will be waiting together with the Holy Martyr George and of all the saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.